And welcome in to another edition of Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO. Ray Michaels joined by Terry Mackey, CEO of Arthur Center Community Health. Terry, thanks for coming in on a Saturday morning when you didn't have to get up quite so early.
You're welcome.
It's not going to be that bad. It's going to be fine. Now, what is Arthur Center Community Health, and how are you guys funded?
Okay, Arthur Center Community Health is a community health center and a community mental health center. I think the community has known us for years as a community mental health center, but in 2013, we received a grant and expanded our services to primary care and dental services, as well as behavioral health services. So our funding is... We have a federal grant from the Health Services and Resources Administration, which is a part of the Health and Human Services Department. And we also get funding from the state of Missouri, Department of Mental Health, and some other smaller grants from various other places.
Very nice. And how long have you been in the facility off of South Clark?
We have been in our current facility since February the 8th of 2016.
Not that that's committed to memory in any way, shape, or form. Now, you've expanded, though, too. You have a new building very, very close, correct?
We do. We have another building that we just completed in December of 2019 at 441 Kelly Parkway, which is right next door, right across from the ambulance district. And that houses our community mental health center services, a lot of the state services. We call it our community services, so like disaster services. We also have, you know, our youth services and adult psychiatric rehabilitation services. We have a day program that operates there, supported employment.
Very nice. Now, how has COVID-19 impacted the services that you've been able to deliver to the community?
Well, like all other businesses, it has had a huge impact. It forced us actually to change the way we do business, and we initiated telehealth services very quickly. We had never done telehealth services prior to this, the COVID-19 crisis. So we very quickly learned how to do telehealth. However, it's been costly financially. You know, lots of folks, you know, we have a lot more no-shows. We have a lot of more people that get worried about whether they should come to a health clinic because it might be risky. We do a lot of screening. We screen everyone that comes in the building. Everyone wears masks. So we try to keep everybody safe, it's an anxiety issue for a lot of people.
Well, sure. And if they're already dealing with a mental health issue, that certainly doesn't help matters either.
It certainly doesn't.
Now, speaking of your work with COVID-19 testing within the facility, you also did quite a bit of drive-through testing early on in this pandemic. Do you think that made you much more visible in the community and made the community more aware of what you all do?
I hope it did. I think that it, I know that it did. There's a lot of folks that had no idea that we did things other than mental health. And,
sure.
You know, so it was an opportunity for folks to see that we do a lot of other things other than mental health. So, yes, we did receive a grant from the federal government to do community testing. We tested about 1,200 people during that period of time, which we worked hand in hand with Audrain County Health Department. They clued us into where we needed to be, you know, so we were able to actually repurpose our mobile dental unit to sort of be our staging unit for COVID testing. We didn't test inside that unit, but we kept our supplies and that kind of thing
on
there.
That was the mobile base for... Very nice.
Absolutely.
Now, are there going to be additional drive-through testing sites as we continue to progress into the fall?
It is likely. It is not there we basically operate with the health department. So if the health department says, hey, we need to do community testing, or the state, you know, determines that, you know, we have an uptick in coronavirus, then, you know, we will take it on the road again. We still do test every day at our facility. However, we never test inside our facility. We have mobile testing outside our facility. Okay. So they come to the back of the facility and we test them in their auto.
So, is that something that an appointment needs to be made for? Or?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And we do have to have doctor's orders right now.
Okay.
If we, you know, if things started, you know, increasing again, we may not need doctor's orders, but right now we do. So you need to contact your physician, but we're happy to provide that test.
As we continue to navigate COVID-19 and socially distance and work from home and isolate or quarantine if we're sick, how can we maintain our mental health?
Very good question.
And probably you know, one you get asked quite a bit, actually.
Yes. And I think that it is kind of ironic how we protect ourselves with COVID-19 virus, meaning socially distance, is exactly the opposite of what we need to do for mental health, which is to be socially connected. The people who are least at risk of being impacted by COVID-19 mental health-wise are people who are socially connected with other people. So, you know, for many of us, and I'll just use myself as sort of a frontline person in the health field, our life hasn't really changed as much as some of the folks in our community, because we still have to get up, go to work every day. We still are socially connected with people. And there are many people like that in our community. And in general, they're the people who are probably the least impacted. The folks that, you know, have been laid off, the folks that, you know, are, you know, let's say in a congregate facility, like people with disabilities, or, you know, I think we've seen, you know, a pretty large COVID outbreak in the prison in Vandalia.
As well people as Tri-County Care Tri-County, Center in Vandalia.
Exactly.
You know, the congregate housing once again.
Yes. So our folks who are in those congregate facilities are very much at risk, probably 2 to 3 times the risk that the rest of us have. And they're also the people who are already the most socially isolated people, and the people who are maybe have some stigma and people, you know, don't tend to think about them anyway. So now they're even more socially isolated.
Which leads to a failure to thrive and a declining health status in general, not just mental health.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think that, you know, in terms of COVID-19 and mental health, I mean, obviously suicide is the big risk. And, you know, folks who are unemployed, especially males under 40, are folks that are majorly at risk. And some of the studies have shown that it, like in the 2008 financial crisis, they a study show in actually from New Zealand, but we'll just say, you know, maybe it's true in the United States, 3 to 4 times the rate of suicide for folks who are unemployed.
Wow.
So, you know, when you're isolated, when you're feeling like, you know, the very thing that you derive maybe your worth as a human being, you know, is taken away from you. And all of a sudden you're like, what use am I to my family?
Right.
Or I'm not bringing in money and I'm not the supporter of the family that I once was. And you just feel helpless and useless sometimes. So suicide is what we really watch out for. And some people say, well, you know, I don't want to ask people if they're suicidal because that might make them suicidal. Not asking them if they're suicidal is more dangerous than asking.
Yeah. And if their mind is made up, they're going to find a way. You're not going to necessarily drive them to it either, at least from my family's experience.
Yeah. Well, and that is true, you know, that, you know, what people, you know, who are suicidal. They feel like they just have this tunnel vision and they can't see that there's any solution except suicide. If somebody breaks into that and asks, hey, have you are you thinking about suicide? Mm-hmm. Sort of breaks them out of that tunnel vision, and, you know, they may actually engage with you and they go, oh, somebody does actually care about me.
Right. Now, is there a hotline that you operate at the Arthur Center for folks that either are suicidal or maybe just need somebody to talk out a problem with and work through?
We absolutely do. The number is 1-800-833-2064. And that connects you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with a mental health professional that answers the call. We take some of the calls during the day at Arthur Center, and during the evening hours, we have a contract with a company out of St. Louis who answers those calls. They have a staff of mental health professionals that are always available. So, and there are many other hotlines as well, and those are typically connected to those hotlines. The one we use is Behavioral Health Response, and, you know, like, so the National Suicide Hotline, and those all connect to them. So there's a few that don't, but I mean, many of them do.
Sure. So. Now, what about the new Missouri Disaster Helpline?
Well, so the state of Missouri, like every other state, received disaster grant funds for COVID-19. And we do have, I think it's, you know, our 6-county catchment area, which is Audrain, Callaway, Montgomery, Rawls, Pike, Monroe. Those counties, you know, we are there. We have three people who are working primarily with that, but they are out. They have flyers and various things that they're passing out, and we have a hotline that they can call for that, which is 800-985-5990. So if you're a family that's, you know, maybe someone in your family has, you know, tested positive and you're worried, or maybe you've lost a loved one, and we know that that's been one of the ugly impacts of COVID-19 is you can't even have a funeral, or you can, it's a very limited funeral, so people can't even grieve their losses. So we think that that's probably going to be a long-term impact of COVID, is just unresolved grief for a lot of people and a lot of families.
Nice. And, you know, it's good, not so much nice, but it's good that we have those resources locally to help us get through that.
Yes.
As we move into the fall and winter, those longer nights are also going to affect people's mental health. What is seasonal affective disorder, and what are some ways to combat that?
Well, seasonal affective disorder, you know, as you said, is basically those long nights and short days. People, you know, it's a lack of exposure to sunlight. And, you know, unfortunately, some of the they call it blue light, you know, the devices that we have always in front of our faces, actually, it doesn't accomplish the same thing. It actually makes it actually creates problems with sleeping. And so folks, you know, if you have interrupted sleep, then that actually causes, you know, more depression, you know, and then anxiety and depression are all sort of very closely related. They're sometimes you can be depressed and not be anxious, but most of the time people who are depressed also have some anxiety issues. So, you know, it creates, and then when you have so many uncertainties, I think there was a guy who called it one of the disasters of COVID-19. He called it malignant uncertainty.
I like that.
And, you know, I was like, whoa, that's an interesting way to put that.
But it's pretty accurate, though, too.
Yeah. And he's a Canadian psychiatrist, actually. But, you know, I just thought it was an interesting way to put it. You know, it's something that's there, slowly eating away at it. But, you know, and it's uncertainty. And there's just questions that sometimes we haven't been able to answer because we don't know. When is a vaccine going to come?
Sure.
How effective is it going to be? I mean, we don't know the answers to those questions.
Sure.
But those are really answers that people need to know that there's hope and that, you know, there's going to be an end to this. You know, if you know that there's going to be an end to something, it's a whole lot easier to cope with it than if you don't know if there's an ever going to be an end, you know. You know, the same with like chronic pain or something like that, where you can deal with pain if it's, you think it's going to end, but if there's no end and you don't know, it's, So I think it's very similar to that chronic pain kind of thing.
Terry, tell us your story. You're a hometown boy, if I'm not mistaken.
Pretty much. Yes, I was, my family was from this area. They met at Community R6 High School.
Nice.
My mother and father. So they were married in Benton City Christian Church. So, I mean, they're, and however, when they were married, they, my father was laid off, got laid off right when they got married. So, they moved to California. So I was actually born in Long Beach, California, believe it or not. And, was there until, kindergarten, between kindergarten and first grade. And then we moved to Farber, Missouri.
Boy,
so
that was a change.
That was a huge change. You know, and I can remember when I moved out here, I was like, hey, you know, how do you tell which direction is which? You know, because, you know, I'd never thought about the sun because in Southern California, you always had the mountains. So you look for the mountains and that oriented you. And I was like, how do you tell? And somebody said, well, you just look at the sun. Oh, what a great idea.
That's a novel idea.
But anyway, so I attended Van Farr, Farber Elementary School at that time. Mm-hmm. And Van Farr my seventh grade year. And then my family moved to, E Blacktop between Centralia and Mexico. And I went to Centralia schools. Do you?
Yes, I do.
And, but between my junior and senior year, they moved to Mexico in town, we had a small farm and they sold it and moved to Mexico. And I graduated from Mexico. Didn't know either person I graduated beside on either side of me because we had, you know, a group of maybe 30, 40, 50 people that you had in your classes. And then other people you really didn't know.
Well, it was a large class, a fairly large class at that time. So.
Yeah, there were. So I spent 3 years doing some theology, at least was considering being a minister and actually was a minister of Benton City Christian Church for 13 years on a part-time basis. But I decided.
I remember that somewhere back in the dark recesses of my mind.
So then I decided that wasn't my calling, I guess. I got a business degree, but went to work. We lived in Moberly at the time. I moved back to Mexico and went to work for Audrain Medical Center. And I was one of the first employees of what was called Options Unlimited then, which was a psychiatric rehabilitation program. I worked in the day program and about starved. And I said, you know, I can't do this, even though, I thought that was my calling. And honestly, what really brought me to that, we adopted some kids with disabilities and that really changed the focus of our life. I'm married to a wonderful woman, Cindy, who certainly changed my life in that way.
And that's good that you've got a partner that you can truly partner with.
Absolutely. And she's a licensed clinical social worker, as am I. And, so we sort of lived it, you know, at home and at work. She's the person who's actually on the front lines. I'm just the person who's there kind of supporting everybody. But it is, you know, having kids with disabilities definitely changed our perspective. And therefore, you know, I was working, you know, in a factory as a supervisor and it's like, this isn't too meaningful anymore. So that's why I felt like I really needed to make a life change. So anyway, that's So I just went back. I got a master's in social work from the Mizzou and, you know, worked for the Department of Mental Health for a while and then had five adolescent sons and decided, and my wife was going to, Cindy was going to divorce me if I left her at home with five sons, you know, some which had disabilities. So, you know, it was challenging time of our life. So I moved back to town and went back to work for the hospital at that time. And, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Now, how long have you been CEO at the Arthur Center?
Well, I've been since 2000. Okay. So 20 years.
Wow. Doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't to been, you either.
Yeah. We've been, we were divested from the hospital in 2003. And, you know, that doesn't seem, you know, like 17 years ago. Wow. That doesn't seem possible either.
Right.
You know, but we certainly have been, you know, it's been a good thing. You know, we certainly have been able to grow the services that we offer in the community. And, you know, we really have a whole lot. We have a full-time pediatrician, actually the only one we have in town. I mean, there are others that are seeing kids, you know, family practice, that kind of thing. But, you know, Dr. Kristen Sungen, you know, we've been able to, we're adding another dentist. We're going to be doing some mobile dental to the schools. Dr. David Kang is his name. And so we have a husband and wife team of Eileen Kang and David Kang, who are both dentists. And Dr. Lan Tu Holam is our dental director. And she's had, you know, many years of experience in community health, worked at Family Health Center for 20 some years as dental director there. So we really have a great dental team. You know, obviously we have Cheryl Lummis, who's a nurse practitioner, sees adults, and Hamza Wahid is our medical director. And then we have, you know, our behavioral health with Dr. Terenisi and Catherine Browning, Kelsey Kingsborough. We have multiple people who deliver a lot of great services, and it's been a blessing being a part of seeing that business grow. You know, we've had, you know, I have a great partner in Linda Hopkins, who is our chief financial officer. You know, she's certainly helped us grow the business. And you know, she's a business person. She really does a great job. So between the two of us, you know, we pull together a lot of things and it works.
Well, and with your business background too, that kind of helps play into it as well. So,
yep.
Now, Terry, the holidays are right around the corner, and that can be a tough time for some. Do you offer any counseling services for those dealing with grief or family issues, other than what we've talked about before with the hotlines, that can help get people through the holidays?
Absolutely. And we have licensed clinical social workers. We have a psychologist. We have licensed professional counselors. Many of whom, you know, all of whom, I should say, you know, are equipped to deal with grief issues. So I think we have, you know, a range of folks that would probably connect with any person who's needing those kinds of services. They are, you know, also available, and I just throw this out, for those people who are, you know, maybe concerned with coming into our office. I mean, they're available via telehealth. So, you know, you can, you know, they can, right now we can still do like FaceTime, you know, and it might be extended for a while, but we can do telehealth and you can have audio video, you know, so you can see them and they can see you.
Now, is this available for anyone in any income bracket, or are there income restrictions on any of the services?
No. No, I mean, there we have a sliding fee scale for people up to 200% of the poverty level. So, I mean, it's a pretty affordable. I mean, I think it starts at $20 up to $40 and a visit. So, you know, I think we, you know, for folks that have, you know, are at risk, meaning people who have, you know, maybe recently been discharged from a psychiatric inpatient unit or something like that, we, you know, we can get it for no cost. So those services are available regardless of income.
Do you take insurance or?
We take most insurances. I'm not going to say all because, you know, there's a lot of them, but we take most insurance plans, most any employers that are around here. You know, we take, you know, most insurance. We take Medicare, Medicaid, managed Medicaid, Medicare. So we, you know, we take most insurance.
And flu season right around the corner, flu shots available through the Arthur Center?
They are. We have vaccine now. And so, yes, that is available. So flu shots available, you know, it is something to really give some special consideration. I know the health department also has free flu vaccines for everybody in Audrain County. So I'll just say that
right.
As well. So there's really no barriers to getting a flu shot this year for anyone. So, you know, we certainly have them. I'm sure SSM has them as well. So I think that there's many, but we definitely are there, and we encourage flu vaccines, especially this year with COVID-19. Yeah.
And probably pneumonia vaccines too, for those at risk populations too. Terry, we've covered a lot, but what should our listeners know about Arthur Center Community Health that we haven't covered?
We have about 135 employees. We need probably another 20 or 30, like all businesses. We're having, we have jobs available. We have community support specialist jobs, which are like bachelor level, entry level jobs. We have residential facilities as well. We have Hope Center, which is a 16 bed facility. We have some individualized supported living facilities as well. And we serve about 24 people in sort of, I'd say, more intensive residential services. We're also kind of expanding into what we call, you know, I mean, they're clustered apartments is what they call them. But, you know, we provide extra support to people who are actually living in their own homes. Mm-hmm. You know, we found that sometimes people that we were discharging from our residential facilities needed more support than we could normally give them. So this is a program that we just actually got approved by the Department of Mental Health to provide. So that's something new. But we're always, you know, if you're looking for a job, you know, there's a lot of jobs. We need billing folks. We need front desk folks. And so I think that, you know, I think we have good package of benefits and that kind of thing. So
how can folks get a hold of you?
They can call 582-1234.
Easy number to remember. Just know that it's 582-1234.
Yes, 582.
That's the only thing to stress. Terry, thank you so much for coming in on this Saturday morning. We appreciate what you do and appreciate your service over the years to the community. And we will be back again next Saturday morning at 8 with Public Perspectives here on AM 1340. KXCO.